Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see your happy, smiling faces. That's better. Great, isn't it, to come and worship together on this first Sunday in Lent. Are you all stuffed with pancakes from last week? Oh, forgot. Well, I'm just reminding you, it is the first Sunday in Lent. And it feels like this morning almost like we're following on from the sermon from 2 weeks ago when we were talking about lead us not into temptation as we journey again with Jesus into the wilderness as he's tested. And as perhaps we think about our own wilderness times and experiences, and we know that through them that God will make us stronger. So I have a call to worship from Tom Schumann. Jesus began his ministry to the world, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. As we begin our Lenten journey, let us be led by the Spirit, even into the uncomfortable places. In those 40 days and in that place, Jesus was faced with hunger, doubt, and temptation. As we seek to follow Jesus, we would be led even into the uncomfortable choices. Jesus left the wilderness faithful and obedient to God, rejoicing in the one in whom he trusted. As we continue on our path to faithfulness, we will be led by our Christ, rejoicing in the Lord our God. Amen. Let's continue our praise as we sing number 564, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, King of Creation.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we come to praise you for who you are and for what you have done for us. We praise you for your glory, your authority, your sovereignty, and your ultimate control over all things. For the life that you have given us and the freedom to choose what you have provided. We praise you that though we have used our freedom to turn our backs on you, to please ourselves and to go our own way, your loving kindness has always been there for us, for loving us enough to hold us, heal us, and welcome us home. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that in Christ you have entered into our world. In him you have shared all the pressure and pain and temptation that being truly human brings. We praise you that we can have assurance that he fully understands all that it means to live in our world. He has shared our life, shared our emptiness, and experienced our limitations. He has walked where we walk, but he did not stumble. He has stood where we stand, but did not fall. He entered our wilderness, but did not give way. He faced our temptations, but did not give in. We praise you that in the wilderness, in Gethsemane and on the cross, Christ has opened the way to victory and hope. We praise you that in his life, death, and resurrection, you are offering us a whole new way of life and a deeper, larger hope and an assurance of your presence forever. Lord God, sometimes you call us into the wilderness, into those places where we must rely totally upon you for our survival. At other times, your Spirit drives us into those places. And each time we have entered them, we have been tempted and tested, tempted to turn back before the time is right for turning back. Tempted to give up before the time you have appointed for our testing and our growing is past. Help us, Lord. Should this be a time in our lives when we feel alone, a time when we feel oppressed by the evil one, help us to claim the blessings that you have prepared for us in the middle of the wilderness. Lead us on our journey and bring us safe to the other side. Lord, help us to minister your loving presence to those who may find themselves in difficult times. May we help them through and enter to the freedom that you have promised. Lord, as we look to all that is going on in your world, help us to bring food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, shelter to the homeless, courage to those who struggle, and hope to those who are tempted to despair. Lord, as we look at the conflicts going on between different nations, we pray, Lord, that your justice, as well as your peace and love and mercy, will surround those lands. We pray for guidance, but particularly for your light to lead the way for those who would rule those nations, and for those, Lord, who were perhaps more on the outside, Lord, but could do something more to help. Lord, we know that you hear our prayers. You see those who are in need. And Lord, as we come to you now and continue our praise and worship and our thanks for who you are, Lord, may we know that we can pray at any time for anything, and in your love, you hear us and answer us. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue our praise as we sing number 760, When We Walk With the Lord, otherwise known as Trust and Obey.
Thank you.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, it's good, isn't it, to be able to delve into God's word. And we notice that from it that Jesus experienced temptations, the enticement and the draw of sin. Most of those would have been normal human experiences brought about by living in a fallen world. And beyond those, as we delve into Luke this morning, he has detailed, intense, direct pressure from Satan, who tried to lure Jesus away from God's will. Scripture also indicates that Jesus didn't give in to temptations, and it teaches us that temptations themselves are not sin. And so I'll ask Marjorie if she'll come and give us our reading for this morning.
Reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, on page 1030. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
As I was thinking about that passage, we see during those 40 days of fasting that the devil entices Jesus using offers of comfort and of power and of prestige. In each case, Jesus responds with scripture and a commitment to do God's will. Christ's faithful devotion to God and proper use of scripture causes Satan to leave, apparently, until there is another time. And as we see throughout scripture, directly challenging Jesus in hours before his crucifixion. When Jesus returns from his wilderness experience, he will begin his public ministry. So we'll unpack that a bit more. But first of all, let's sing number 400. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have led us to this place, that we can come freely to worship, to praise you, to thank you, but also, Lord, to listen to what you have to say to each one of us. Lord, prepare our hearts, open our hearts. May we hear what you have to say to us today, but not only hear, but also do. Amen. I'm sure some of you, or many of you, are probably familiar with the story of the two boats and the helicopter. Good. There was a devoutly Christian man who faced imminent danger as a result of a flood that began to devastate his community. The flood waters became higher. I thought it was quite appropriate for this morning with all the rain that we'd had, forcing him to retreat to the roof of his house. On two occasions, individuals in boats beckoned him to climb into their boats and save his life. But he refused and shouted back from his roof, "I'm a Christian, God will save me." Finally, the waters rose to the edge of the roof. Suddenly, a helicopter appeared and begged the man to grab the dropped ladder and be saved. Well, you know what happened. The man refused, "I'm a Christian, God will save me." And ultimately, he died. Didn't tell you it was a happy story, did I? When he entered heaven, he demanded to see God. "Why did you let me down?" Instead of striking him down with a lightning bolt, God calmly replied, "Hey, I sent you two boats and a helicopter." Reminds me of the Bible, "Do not put your Lord your God to the test." But as we face the challenges and problems in our life, we often fail to watch and follow the leads that God sends us. Many of these are given to us before we even enter into the trials. However, when we're in an awful situation, we have to remember that so is God. God is there, and he wants us to use the resources that he has provided for us. Now, I do pray that that isn't two boats and a helicopter, but just remember the story. Sometimes we're looking for help, but we aren't willing to accept it because it doesn't look like the way that we think it should. You remember what we often say, particularly at Bible study? We often tell God what he should be doing for us rather than taking from God what he has provided for us. Sometimes we get so caught up in our expectations of how things should be that we miss out on the opportunities. We miss the God-cidences, as I often say. I don't know about you, but I've heard that text read and preached many times over my church life, how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. There are many sermons, many lessons that go with it. We learn how Christ was tempted in every way that we are. So he understands, as we've been singing through some of those hymns, lust of the flesh, when he was persuaded to try and turn the bread or get bread from the stones, the lust of the eyes, that Satan would give him the wealth of the world, which belonged to God anyway, and the pride of life. If he was the Son of God, he deserved to be treated as such. We hear about how Christ used scripture to resist the devil and how this shows how important it is for each of us to memorize scripture. But as I was reading through the passage in Luke and Matthew and Mark, actually, my mind began to ponder the final sentence of the passage. In verse 13, "When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time." Now, I've heard that passage a lot of times, but it has never struck me. That last verse had never struck me. "He left him until an opportune time." I realise that too often we and I fail to see that Christ's temptation was not a one-time thing. And often, we say, we hear it preached, it's breezed through, and the answers, you know, the cliche answers that the minister gives are given. And while these answers may be good and valid and helpful in our lives, temptation does not end that simply for us. And it did not end that simply for Jesus. While Scripture doesn't specifically tell us of other temptations, we can, as we read through the Gospels, see them between the lines. And so as we read that Jesus was led into the desert after being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus is immediately led into the wilderness. And each of the Gospel writers has something slightly different to say about it. Matthew said, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Mark is very short and succinct. In two verses, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. That's all Mark has to say. Nobody else picks up on the wild animals, though. And Luke, as we just heard, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. And so three gospel writers record how Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And as I say, Mark doesn't give us any of the details. He just wants us to know that the event happened. Matthew and Luke's versions, and you can read them when you get home if you want to, are very similar, but they have the temptations in a slightly different order. Doesn't make any difference, does it, which order they came in? He was still tempted. It doesn't spoil the encounter, and it doesn't spoil us thinking about what Jesus endured. Jewish readers would have recognized the pattern of testing that precedes a period of public ministry. Throughout the temptations, Jesus responds to the devil with, as we've heard, quotes from Deuteronomy. It's significant that he quotes from chapter 8, verse 3, in the first temptation, but the previous verse actually reads in Deuteronomy, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order that you know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. So it's useful. The Jewish people would have known their scripture far better than us. They would have remembered their ancestors being taken through the wilderness those 40 years, going round and round in circles until their hearts were right to enter the promised land. To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Sometimes we find ourselves in wilderness situations. A friend shared with me in the week that ministry starts with wilderness times, and we have to depend on God to get us through them. I would say it doesn't just start, I would say it happens all the way through. Our desire to minister is strong, our motives pure, and our hearts in the right place, so to speak. But nothing is going right. Everything seems to fall apart. So it may be that, you know, we find ourselves in a time of wilderness. But as C.H. Swindoll says, not outside of God's will, but right where he wants us to be. I often say if everything's going along peacefully and happily, then perhaps we're not doing God's will because the devil doesn't have to bother with us. Luke does have that one more detail that Matthew doesn't. And we read, until an opportune time. So that tells us, that, in other words, that there was more temptation to come. And as I said, while the Bible doesn't specifically record another encounter between the devil and Jesus, we can easily imagine him lurking in the shadows in every scene, whispering and accusing and distracting and hindering. The devil doesn't give up. even though he knows that he can't have our souls because Jesus has won the victory for us already, he will still fight to get everything else from us. Our attention, our time, our priorities. So it's crucial that to realise that his tempting of Jesus doesn't end on the pinnacle of the temple. Because that's what he does. Jesus even points it out to his disciples every so often just to remind them. We read in Luke chapter 10, after the 72 return from their preaching mission, he tells them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning. When Peter tries to reassure Jesus that something as horrible as the crucifixion would never happen to him, we read in Matthew, Jesus immediately saw who was speaking it through Simon Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And in the upper room, Jesus lets Peter in on a conversation that Satan's been having with him in Luke 22. "Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that you will not fall, and that when you return, you will strengthen your brothers." So we kind of see with that going on in Peter's head why he writes later on in his letter that he warns us, "Be sober-minded, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith." Even though the demonic activity continues throughout the Gospels, Satan doesn't make his follow-up appearance until near the end, when both Luke and John tell us that Satan enters Judas during the Passover, just before Jesus is betrayed. C.H. Spurgeon writes from his book Gethsemane, when we think about the time that Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane, "But in our judgment, the fiercest heat of the Saviour's suffering in the garden lay in the temptations of Satan." It's crucial for each of us as believers to know ourselves well enough to know when the opportune times in our lives are for the devil to interfere. When are we most susceptible to temptation? When we're tired? When we're stressed? In the middle of a disagreement with a loved one? Perhaps when we're with our non-Christian friends. We can't avoid every situation, but we can be on our guard when those situations arise. We remember, as James says in his letter, "The devil is a coward. If you resist him, he will flee from you." But we know at the moment he never stays away for long. The devil is looking for an opportune time with us today. We can be thankful that Jesus, our great high priest, was tempted like us in every way, yet he did not sin. He understands, he can relate, and through him we can overcome. In Christ, God forgives our sins, provides all that we need for this life and into the next, and gives us power to overcome temptation. The temptation of Jesus shows us that no matter how intensely we are tempted to sin, we can overcome. Rather than relying on our own limited willpower to do so, we can do so by relying on God, who will faithfully help us. As I read from Corinthians a few weeks ago, "No temptation has overtaken us except for what is common to humankind. And God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that we can endure it." It's only when we stand in glory before our Lord and Saviour will all temptations finally be set behind us once and for all. Until then, we must always stand on guard, because temptation is not a one-time thing. But we don't need to fear them, for we have our victory in Christ. He has given word to keep in our hearts so that we do not sin against him. He has faced every temptation faced by humankind and emerged victorious. Most importantly, he has not left us alone. He has granted to those who believe in him the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So while we may continue to face temptations in our lives, we know that we already have the victory in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, where there is a cross, we will carry it. When we pass through despair, we will endure it. When our peace is broken, we will suffer it. When we mourn, we will do it bravely. When we are overwhelmed, we will bear it, trusting in your promises alone. Whatever we face, whatever happens, wherever we go, keep us true to you, filled with Christ and overflowing with your Spirit. Amen. So let's sing number 51, Be Thou My Vision. Let's pray. When we acknowledge our weaknesses, then we will be strong. When we recognize our poverty, then we shall be rich. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, then we shall be free. Go into the world in the name of Christ, with the love of God and in the power of the Spirit. We go, but we do not go alone. We go together, and Christ goes with us. Amen. Just a reminder that the Lighthouse AGM is on at Holy Trinity tomorrow evening, 7:30 till 9, and our Lent studies will continue next week. Bless you. Mm-hmm.